1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is written by what writer? Paul the Apostle. Who is the author? God. Every problem we have in the modern church is answered in 1 Corinthians by the inspiration of God. As simple as that. 1:25. God reacts to man as man reacts to God. Did you know that? One of my teachers said that a long time ago. God reacts to man as man reacts to God. Hote. To muron. Tu theu. So fo teron. Ton. Anthropon. Estin. Kai. To. Astanes. Tu, theu, ek, kur, ro, taran, ton, anthropon. Full of common Greek idioms. This verse is full of common Greek idioms. Because the foolishness of the God, and who's got Amplified? Gabby, you got Amplified open over there? We'll look at that in just a minute. And I was going to bring mine and hand it out, but I forgot it. Because the foolishness of the God, all right, the foolishness of God, wiser than, here is a comparative, sophoteron, it's wiser than, higher than, of the mankind, things belonging to humans, all right, things belong. Anthropology means what? The study of man. That word comes right out of this. It is. And the thing weak, asthenes, asthenia, that's what that word comes from, the things weak of the God stronger than mankind. Now, God is using some condescension here. What do we mean by condescension? That's a theological term. Condescension. He's coming down to our level so we can understand Him. In the Old Testament, we have theophanies that are condescension. Theophanies. What is a theophany? Alright, God appearing. Alright, God appearing, where He can teach us something. We have the creature with four faces. We have the creature with four faces in the book of Revelation. These are what we call theophanies, our condescension, so man can understand something about God. What do the four faces represent in those? What were the faces? Face of a what? An eagle? A man? An ox? A lion? All right. The four Gospels correspond to all of those things. There were four flags around the tabernacle. See the tabernacle? There were four flags for the groups of the tribes of Israel around them, and they had those same faces on them. And what does it teach in all reality? The different work of Christ. The different work of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:25. The foolishness of God. Now, we've talked about types and shadows in the Bible in our classes in the past. Types and shadows. That tabernacle is a type of Christ, isn't it? And it's also a type of what? What else? Secondary, a type of what? First of all, primarily, it's a type of Christ. Everything in that tabernacle was a type of Christ. Okay? Secondarily, it is a type of what? The church in the church age. All right? The church in the church age. For instance, all of the covers on there represent, they have cherubims in them. And that, do you know that we're completely surrounded by angels and angelic forces, and everywhere you go, we're completely surrounded. All right. Now, Gabby, do you have that open right there? Could you read that real loud, like you're up on a stage? The foolishness of God, moral, We have the word moron from that. The word moron. God is using comparatives now. Matthew 5:20 and John 5:36, 1 Corinthians 1:18, 21 and 23, 1 Corinthians 2:14, 4 and 10, and 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, and 2 Corinthians 12 and 2 are all cross-references to this. Now, we're going to look at some things here. Paul is going to use some theological terms. 1 and 26, blepete, gar, tain, kleison, himon, adelphoi, hote, u, poloi, sophoi, kata, sarka, u, poloi, dinatoi. All right. U, poloi, eugenes. All right. For ye see the calling, the election. How are we elected? How are we chosen? How are we chosen? By who we are? Huh? Because of God's love and in His sovereign choice. That's how we're chosen. We're chosen in Christ. That's how. The only one way you're going to get saved, and that's in Christ. The calling of you, the election of you, God's sovereign love, brothers, because not many sophoi. What is that? Sophoi. That's the highest word for wisdom, isn't it? For mind. What does it mean? The ability to use everything for the glory of God. That's one of the ways it's used. Use the highest of philosophers. According to the flesh, sarka, sarka. According to the flesh. Not many powerful and not many well-born. Let's look at this. Not many, the word dinatoi there, that means majestic. We got a word dynamite from it. A sovereign comes from this word. A potentate, princes, queens, and kings. And many well-born, good-generated, high or nobly born. There was a lady pharaoh. Her name was Hatshepsut. And for many, many years, she ruled between 1479 and 1458 B.C. And she was a mystery because that was the only lady pharaoh that they knew about. And she had royal blood in her, of course. They knew that. And she was married to a pharaoh. And basically, he became pharaoh because he married her. She was the blue blood. All right, that's well-born, just powerful, majestic, okay? He died, and he had a son. And she, in the beginning, she was his co-ruler with him. And then after a few years, she started taking on the whole role of pharaoh as if she was masculine gender. She even wore a false beard. You know, the pharaohs had a false beard. Okay? And they thought that she was a wicked stepmother. For many, many years, they thought she was a wicked stepmother. And that she was a bad, and she had usurped the throne and everything. And because her images were all chiseled and destroyed after her stepson became pharaoh. And they couldn't find where she was buried at all. And there was an Indiana Jones type character who was really one. Did you know that? He wore a fedora and all that kind of stuff. He went down, I think, 700 feet down in this thing and went through different caverns and looked around, and they finally found this one room. And in there, on the floor of the chamber, was a woman. Looked like she was really royal. I mean, she had a real, what you call a royal embalming. And beside her, in a coffin, she was laying on the floor. Beside her in a coffin was another person that was mummified. And they found out that that was her wet nurse, because the wet nurse is the one that nursed her when she was young. They stayed very close to them all of their lives. Remember when she left home, she brought her wet nurse with her? A lot of times when they were buried, they would bury their wet nurse with them. And that's exactly what they did with her. And to hide her, they had taken all of her finery off and pretty much unwrapped her and put her in the floor and hid her in this chamber. The priest had done this because she was Euganes, a blue blood. Finally, after many years of searching and trying to figure it out, after they found her, and they finally decided it was actually her, this Hatshepsut. And the way they did it is they had a container containing her liver and a tooth, a molar tooth. And they had the tooth in there, and probably the embalmer put the tooth in this thing. And after they did all the CAT scans and everything, CATs, all different kinds of MRIs and everything, looking at her body, they realized that this woman here has got to be this Lady Pharaoh, because that tooth is missing and there's still one root left in there. Well, more. Then they found out that she wasn't such a wicked woman at all. Everything that they found out about her, she was really trying to please the people. She was kind of insecure and everything. She wanted them to approve of what she was doing, and she would ask their approval, which no other Pharaoh did. She had written all kinds of little things, but they were all chiseled off, but they found some that had been covered up with stone. Found out what she looked like and everything. Then finally they found out, why did this stepson of hers try to carve away and do with all her images? His father did not have any royal blood in him at all. Nowhere. She was the only one that had the royal blood, the majestic blood. See, the pharaohs to them were deity. And she had come all the way down with this royal blood. And only her close relatives would have gone to the throne, since she had broken the path for a lady pharaoh. Some of the others did. That were worn. So he chiseled off all of her images and everything else so they wouldn't know that she was the royal blood. And that's what happened to him. Well born. Good generated. High born. By the way, God has two elections in the Bible. What are they? Israel and the church. Israel and the church. That's the two elections in the Bible. Israel and the church. Israel was elected to be God's administrator during that time back there, wasn't it? Who is elected to be God's administrator in the world today? The church. There's the two elections in the Bible. All right, let's go back and look at it again. For ye see the election or the calling of you, brothers. The calling of you. Who is this? Who is he speaking to? Who's speaking? Paul's speaking. Who's he speaking to? The church at Corinth. The church is all messed up. The church has more problems than a math book, Cindy. Lots of problems. But she is called of God. And she's the administrator of God in that place. Paul the Apostle had lots of problems. What was to Corinthianize something? What was that term? Remember we looked at that term here a while back. What did that mean? To Corinthianize something. That was a term that was used back then. Mm-hmm. To completely pervert. To make somebody dishonest. The Corinthians were licentious, wild, unbridled lust. Terrible, unbridled lust in this area. To Corinthianize. Horrible immorality. Dishonest. Cheats and liars and thugs. Con men. Confidence men. This is the Corinthians. Terrible. And Paul goes in here and starts making converts. But what happened? One of my teachers here a while back said, we live in a day of worldly churches and a churchly world. Worldly churches and a churchly world. Everybody wants a little religion. The Corinthians wanted a little religion. But saving, when you get saved, God does something to your life, doesn't He? You get changed. I don't care what you were before you were saved. When God saves your soul, there is a miraculous work in your life. A miraculous work. The spirit world is powerful, isn't it? On both planes. The spirit world is powerful. You can't deny the spirit world. Well, when God's spirit goes to work on you, changes take place. Changes take place. Romans 11:29, Matthew 11:25, 1 Corinthians 1:20, 2:8, and John 5:39 are all cross references to this. Penny, have you got that? Look, are you open right there to 1:26? Could you read that for me out of Amplified? God doesn't use the powerful so many times. We know that Paul baptized one very powerful person, didn't he? He was the ruler of a synagogue. He had a city, what we call the city administrator, in one area that he baptized. But there weren't very many of those, were there? There was one time a ruler, when Paul was preaching. Remember when he zapped that old boy that was catcalling and everything on the side there, and Paul says, and I mean zapped him like that, and the ruler was saved by the power of God. Remember one time when Paul was doing miracles and he straightened out a crippled man in one of these cities in an area like this, and when he straightened the man's legs out, what did the crowd want to do? They ran out and grabbed the cow and some goats. And brought it over there, and they were going to sacrifice them, and they said, "You're a God." And he said, "What? Don't do that. I'm just a man just like you are." And what ended up happening? They stoned him. They tried to kill him when he refused their sacrifices and their worship. There aren't very many potentates, princes, men of high dignity, aristocracy called. Every now and then God does. Every now and then God does. But what the most miraculous thing is that He uses sometimes a converted dope addict, a ganger, a gang leader. When I was in Los Angeles going to school down there, there was one convert. And he volunteered with the sheriff's department down in L.A. County someplace, or Orange County, I can't remember now. It's been too many years ago. And he was a former gang member, and with all the tattoos on him and everything, basically, they don't get educated, do they? What is a gang member? What do? They kill people. They rob and they steal. That's all they do. But when God saves those people, He saves them. Now, in the beginning, they're ruled by the spirit world, aren't they? The other spirit world. You got to be careful with spirit. This old boy was down there, and he would go out and do away with graffiti. He would paint over things. He would sandblast and do all this. While he was out doing this, somebody shot him down and killed him. A gang member. Shot and killed him. Here we have a man out here trying to go back and undo the bad things that he did and trying to clean up society, and somebody murders him. 1:27. Strong adversative conjunction, page 15 is where that one comes from. Allah. Ta Murah. Tu Cosmu. Ex Alexato. Ho Theos. Hina. Kara Katais Kine. Tus, Sophus, Kai, Ta, astene, tu cosmu, ex eloxeto. Say that one again. Ex eloxeto, ho theos, hina, kataiskene, ta, iskera. But the moron things, the stupid, the defunct. Defunct. That's a real word, isn't it? Is that a real word, Cindy? All right. Of the unregenerated world system. All right. Think about that for a while. But the things defunct, absolutely unqualified, of the unregenerated world system, he has picked out for himself. Look at that now. He has picked out for himself. How many times do you get saved? Once. I don't care what these people out there in world systems and other religious groups think. You get saved just one time. That's it. And by the way, why would I say that looking at this verb? What tells me it's one time? First aorist. First aorist is sharp punctiliar action. Third person singular. First aorist, indicative. Indicative mode does what? What's indicative mode? What's it mean? It means a statement of fact. Subjunctive mode is a maybe or maybe not. But the indicative mode is a statement of fact. When something is indicative in the English language, we borrowed this mode. If it's indicative, what does it mean? It's a fact, a standard, or whatever. Well, that's indicative. Middle voice. Middle voice. He did it for himself. All right? The God. That's who doing the active nominative singular masculine. Definite article and nominative singing and masculine. See that word whole there? That's the definite article. Toteristikon arthron. All right? That's the definite article. It's pointing number and gender and case. It will agree with the object that it's pointing to. The God. The God, he picked it out. He's the subject. In order that little conjunction, page 201, if you want to write that down, hina, he might put to shame, third person singular present, subjunctive. See that word subjunctive there? That he might do it. Whenever the occasion comes, he will. Active voice, statement of fact. The ones, wise, philosophers. And the things weak or sickly, asthenia. Asthenia means, it can mean someone that is totally incapable of taking care of himself. This is what we call a ward. A person that cannot take care of himself, he needs to have a caretaker. Okay? A caretaker. A ward. A weak. God can use the weak things of this world. I had a teacher that was probably the most brilliant teacher, the most well-read man of anybody, and he was crippled from the time he was 5 years old. That man was a giant. He was very short. He had muscular dystrophy from the time he was 5 years old. He was the oldest living muscular dystrophy victim. And a genius. Everybody went to him to ask the question, do you know about this Brother Farrar? He had read about it. There wasn't anything that escaped him. Nothing. Not half of the books in my library. At one time, 50% of the books in my library were given to me by Brother Farrar. I still have a lot of them. He was a genius. You can go listen to him. We're going to put some, I'm working on about 30 or 40 years. I think I have close to 150 of his messages. Randy, when I say that, he just... You want to hear something. Go listen to that man. He'll make your head spin. from now on. And he used to say to the class, just sit there. There's a time element in learning. You may not understand what I'm telling you until 10 years from now. And I didn't. You know, you think you know it right then, but you don't. There's a time element in learning. You finally, one of these days, it dawns upon you what he was really trying to say. It really dawns upon you. Weak things. That man could not take care of himself hardly. But I'm going to tell you, he was a giant. And God used that man for about 50 years teaching in seminary. 50 years teaching advanced theology. He'd make your head spin. In society, maybe he would have never succeeded in anything, but I will tell you something, boy. In that seminary, he was a great man of God. Didn't slow him down mentally. He was a giant. The weak things of the world system, belonging to the world. That word there is genitive singular masculine. That case is genitive singular masculine. Genitive case is a case of possession. The weak things belonging to the world, he picked out. The God he did it, he picked out. For himself, again, in order that he might shame the things strong. That he might shame the things that are strong in the world. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the spiritual order of things. We have supervisors in the county, do we not? We have mayors, we have governors, we have senators, we have representatives. In that same way, we have a spiritual order of things. We have a violent warfare going on around us at all times in the spirit world and all of those different levels of order. We studied, two or three weeks ago, the seraphim and the cherubim on Sunday afternoon in Hebrew. They're orders of angels. There's angels and there's spirits out there all over. When you get saved, do you know it? Is there a powerful thing that takes place in your life? When people get sucked into a false religious system, when you hear about a Baptist becoming a Catholic or a Baptist becoming a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, first of all, they weren't sealed with the Spirit of God. Period. They weren't never the Lord. They were religious. They were churchly. Okay? Remember, we have a worldly church and a churchly world? Okay? People like being religious. They like being religious. At one time, people went to church for entertainment. Back in the 1800s and 1700s and 1600s, whether you was lost or saved, you went to church just to see what was going on. Just to watch somebody get up and read something. How many of you ever been involved in the spirit world? Demonic things. You ever been around some of it? I have. You can get in. You have to be very careful around it. I was a missionary to American Indians one time. The American Indians in the early pre-white contact area were very religious people. And if you go study their ways and lives and everything else, you'll find out it basically, Brother Abe was here a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, and he brought out how the Chinese language came from the Garden of Eden, basically, and before Noah. All of those things go back. We all come from the same place. We don't have 50 different mothers and fathers. We have Adam, and we have Eve, and we have Ham, Shem, and Japheth. That's it. That's where we come from. We come from those orders. Cindy, you've been around a lot of educated people all your life, haven't you?
Yeah.
And the other people you're trying to educate.
Yeah.
There are some people in that system that believe in this New Age business. You know, the New Age deal and the American Indian stuff just going half and just arm in arm in a lot of ways nowadays. Have you ever heard of time travel and things? Do you think that happened? Sure does. The spirit world's for real. You know that some people out in some of these darkest parts of Africa and in South America, out there in the bush, know more about the spirit world than theologians. There was a professor of anthropology went down into South America and started studying the shamans. You know what I'm talking about, Cindy? He went down there, and boy, he went into some spirit quest. Almost in the book of Revelation, what are one of the things that people wouldn't lay aside? Pharmakia. Pharmakia. What is pharmakia? That's where we get our word pharmacy from. It means drugs. In the spirit world, drugs are involved. Now, the Comanches and the Apaches out here in the west part, they use some drugs to get them into the spirit world. If you go down into South America, they use drugs to get them into the spirit world. You go in Africa, you go in many societies all over the world, and they use drugs. And even in the charismatic movement, we see the spirit world at work. How many of you read the book I wrote on the near cult, my master's thesis?
What's it called?
The near cult. We're going to get into that later. We're just touching on it just a little bit tonight. We're just touching bases, all right? This guy went down there and they gave him a drug, and boy, he went into the spirit world. He started doing travel. He said he went into the deep parts of the earth. He saw all these creatures and things. You know what all those creatures he was seeing were? They were real. And they took his spirit there. You know what they were? They were demons. I've heard of some American Indians traveling to the moon. And I believe they did. In the spirit world. When I started working with the American Indians, I did a sweat lodge. I was a pipe carrier. I did all the things that they did. But with God on my side and protecting me. Okay? Trying to lead him back to God. And I do sweat lodge ceremonies and different things. Well, a lot of times in those sweat lodge ceremonies, spirits come. The wrong kind. They didn't come to mind. God was in there. The Spirit of God was helping me. Angels. And those good ones. The good spirits. But out in the spirit world, they're real. They're real. That's what leads people astray. That's what influences even God's children are led astray. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? We call the Lord's Prayer. What does it say? Lead us not into temptation. You have to be careful in the world. Now, when you're born again and you're sealed with the Spirit of God, that really helps. But then don't walk on shaky ground. I led some of those people to the Lord. Matter of fact, hundreds of them. All over the country. I knew more about American Indian culture than they did. But boy, in any society, in anything that's got to do with the spirit world, you've got to be careful. It is dangerous ground. It's dangerous ground. Music. Music. Remember when we studied the music makers? In the book of Genesis? The music makers? Cindy, you remember that? You weren't here, but I think you took it. Huh? The music makers. Remember when the ones that started music? Music, to begin with, was angels. Back in eternity time. Who was one of the greatest singers and the leader of God's orchestras? Who was he?
Lucifer.
All right, but here in on Earth, then we have the music makers were from the Hamitic side of the family, the Hamitic races, and even today, some of the greatest singers and natural musicians are from the Hamitic races. Natural musicians. But so much of music is demonic. Demonic. I preached one time about 40 years ago, okay? Something like that. On the evils of rock music back then. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. We didn't know anything. But just think, the disguise. And who are these rock stars? What do they look like? Huh? Whoa. Yeah. And how are they influenced? Do you think the spirit world can lead them on? If you don't, you're naive. Naive. All right. God is sovereign. Did we read 27 in an Amplified Bible yet? We didn't read that. Gabby, can you read that one for me? Real, real loud there. 1 and 27. All right. 27, 28 now. Verse number 28. Anybody read that one? That's real easy. It looks just like it does in English. Hi. All right. And how about the next one? Ta. All right. Agane. All right. Tu. Cosmu. Kai. Ta. Exu. The. Ne. Mena. Ex. Lexato. Ho, Theos, Ta, Me, Honta, Hina, Ta, Honta, Katargese. The thing's not well born. That's why that Lady Pharaoh's stepson was afraid. He knew that he was not well born. Like her heirs would be, or her family, so he tried to erase her memory. Hatefja. The things not well born, humble, born in poverty of the world, and the things having been looked down upon, he picked out for himself. Look at that. Now, what he picked out for himself, what does this word exiloxato, where does it come from? This is a test. What are the words that come from? What two Greek words? It's a compound. What is it? Cindy? All right. Exiloxato. What two Greek words did it come from? Ek, which means out of, and then lego. All right, lego. Let's look at it and see how we get elected out of that word. Ek means out, doesn't it? That's real simple. Ek it right there means out of it. What does lego mean? What? Give me the origin of the etymology, the history of the word lego. Someone. A little bird walking out in pasture. And the little bird walking out on pasture is picking out what he wants. Leaving things and picking out what he wants. That's what the word lego means. Now, it means I speak. But what it means, in humanly speaking, anthropologically speaking, okay, is that in your mind there are words in your memory banks that you're lining up, hopefully, in line, so that you can make your mind understood to somebody else. And you're picking those things out. But that's the word right there for election. God picked out. Just remember, like God is out there, a little sparrow out in the yard, picking out what he wants. Picking out what he wants. The God, the things not. See, that's that particle of negation, page 268 there. See that one, May? That's the one you were thinking about the other day, Cindy. Remember? All right. Being. Look at that word being. Onta. Onta. That's being. That's present participle active. accusative singular masculine. It comes from Amy, but it means those things existing. Alright? What did God make everything out of? Where did it all come from? Came from Him. But it came from those things that we don't see existing. And He brought it into the existing. Out from the invisible into the visible. The things not being, in order that the being, same thing there again, present participle, active, accusative, singular, masculine, He shall destroy, not make null and void. This is a rare word in Old Greek, by the way. I one time had a dog named Argo. A friend of mine paid $8,000 training that dog. $8,000! And he was a champion, too. His name was Argo. He named him Argo. And I knew what Argo meant, because I know Greek. I said, Fody, why did you name that dog Lazy? Idle, worthless. And he said, well, he said he's really good in the trials, the field trial and everything. Nobody can beat him. He's fantastic. But out there in the real world, when you go hunting, he doesn't go out there far enough. He won't go. I chase him off. He won't go. He's close. He hunted close. You know why? Because the trainer had him on a leash when he trained him, and he would not go any further than that leash went. And he was one of the only dogs that would actually stay within boundaries. He would never go further than that leash would reach. And so when he went out and really hunted out in the field, he didn't go out far enough to get the chucker and the quail and the pheasants and everything that a dog that would not be so perfect would do. So he called him Lazy. Lazy. He shall nullify. Idle. He shall make it become idle. He shall make it become unfruitful. All right. Unfruitful. Penny, are you over there still on 28 now? Now, real loud. Yep, bring to nothing. Make them lazy. Idle. Like old Argo. Old Argo. He was a great dog. A champion. But he stayed too close. 129. By the way, 1 Corinthians 1 and 20 and 2 and 6, Romans 4, 17, and Job 34, 19, and 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, and Hebrews 2, 14 were part of this one. I'm speeding up a little bit fast tonight. Did you see that, Cindy? We're covering a little bit more ground. We might even finish this chapter. We're almost there. We're almost there. Does that scare you? All right. Hupos. Hupos, that is. Couldn't read my own writing. Hupos, me, kakes, sete, pasa, sarks, enopion, tu theu. So as, or how, that's a little adverb, page 290, by the way. Not, that's a particle of negation, it might both. All flesh. Pasa. That means all flesh. Sarks. What's the Hebrew word for flesh? You Hebrew scholars? Basar. That's right. Basar. All right. Holy, you said the same thing. Boy, you guys are good, girls. All flesh. Enopion. Who can give me the etymology of enopion? What does it mean? Where does it come from? Two Greek words. All right. And?
Eon.
Huh? right under the eye. Opion. Enopion. Right under the eye. Right in the sight. This right. Ophthalmos. Ophthalmology. All right. Ophthalmology. All right. Opios. In an opios. Enopion means right down in the very eyesight. Right before the eyes of God, of the God. All right? Right in the eyesight, right down under the presence of the eye of God. God's treasures are in earthen vessels. In earthen vessels. Treasures in earthen vessels. Think about that for a while. We studied Matthew, Katamathion, the Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And what is in Matthew, the 13th chapter? What is the subject of Matthew, the 13th chapter? The prophetic parables of Matthew 13, the prophetic parables. And we studied two parables in there that what the world thinks of. Remember the pearl of great price, and what was the other? The treasure in the field. All right? And in most of the, what we call the Protestant Christendom, when they come to the pearl of great price, they said, that is salvation. Man finding salvation. And the treasure? Man finding the treasure and giving everything he has up for that treasure, which is salvation. That's not what it's talking about. The pearl of great price is you. You're the pearl of great price. God loved you so much that He gave everything He had for you. Remember, the man, the merchant, the pearl merchant, he finds this gigantic, beautiful, perfect pearl. And he sells everything that he has to buy that pearl. And that pearl is you. And then there was a man out in the field. And out in the field, he finds a treasure. Out in the field. And he goes and he liquid. Now turn this old fellow here over. Just in case everything else fails, sometimes this one works. And that fellow goes out and liquidates all of his assets. He liquidates all of his assets to buy that treasure, the field. Because he has to own the field, doesn't he? Let's think about it now. We're talking about here in the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. What is the most ridiculous thing to the world? You go to the Mormons, you go to the Jehovah's Witnesses, you go to the Muslims, and their idea of God is totally different than Christianity. You have to do something to get to heaven. And God surely wouldn't sell out everything He had and walk down here in human flesh and be crucified and killed on a cross of Calvary to procure your salvation. But that's what the Bible says. That would be crazy according to God putting Himself in flesh and walking among mankind and making Himself susceptible to beatings and insults, treachery. Boy, but God did it, didn't He? Now to the world, the Muslims will never understand that. Oh no. The Muslims don't even understand the Adamic nature. They think that every man, now this is humanistic. Alright, this really sounds real rational to the world. To lost people, this sounds real rational. To people that don't know God, this sounds real rational. The Muslims say that they are not responsible for anybody else's sins. They are only judged by their own sins. They're not responsible for anybody else's sin. So that means that you're not responsible for Adam's sin. But you are, aren't you? Why is the millennial reign? Why does it take place on the earth? To squelch that very argument. If you'd have been in the Garden of Eden, you'd have done the same thing Adam did. And Eve, you would have done it. Because you're human. You're Adamic. We make bad decisions, don't we? We're just prone to do that, aren't we? Even when we know to do right, we wander off in the wrong. We do it. Every day, we wrestle in the spirit world. If we have anything to brag about, it's this God's power and God saving us. If you ever make anything out of yourself at all spiritually, it's not going to be because of you, it's because of God. Because He chose the weak things of this world to show Himself and make Himself known. Treasures and earthen vessels. Three powerful words in verse number 30. Three powerful words. And Cindy likes one of them real well. That's your favorite word. Ek, alto, de, himes, este, en, Christo Jesu. Hos, agenete, sophia, himen, apotheu, dikaiosune. That's that word. Te, kai, hagiosmos. Kai, apolitrosis. Out of Him. And out of Him, or moreover, out of Him, ye are in Christ Jesus. We're out of God. We're born out of God. We're born from Him. Remember, God always rejects the firstborn, doesn't He? All the way, that what we call is the law of the rejection of the firstborn. When we have our first birth, God rejects us. We're born of the world. We must be born again. You must be born again. Born in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us. From God, dikaiosune. That means what, Cindy?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. God looks at us just as if we never sinned. Boy, you ought to say hallelujah to that. He looks at us as if we never sinned because we see the righteousness of Christ. It's been imputed to us. And both, te, kai, te, both, and that little, what we call a combinatory enclitic particle there, te, and then conjunction kai. Hagiosmos. What does hagiosmos mean? Huh? All right, what does it mean? What does it literally mean? Where does it come from? Gaius is what? In Greek. Earth. In Hebrew. Aretz. All right. So we see earth. Now, what does this word mean? Not of earth. When you're born the second time, you're born from above. Ana Ganesan. Ana. Up. Ganesan. You're upborn. I'll tell you what, you have a royal birth the second time. Remember what said Euganes a while ago? Not very many well-born. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you're born again, you're well-born. You're born from above. You are God's child. How much higher could that be? That's better than Nefereti or Hephaestus or anybody else. That's what we call the blue bloods, the real blue bloods, the purple royalty. And the sanctification, it means to set apart, but it means literally not of this earth. So when you're born the first time, you're born of earth. When you're born from above, born the second time, you're born from above. And then we have the word kai apolitrosis. 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 What does that mean? What it literally means is to be purchased off of the slave block. You have been auctioned off, but God purchased you. He purchased you out of slavery and set you free in Him. Purchase you out of slavery and set you free in Him. Romans 3:24, 8 and 1. 1 Corinthians 4:15, 1:24, 1:2, 6:11. Jeremiah 23:5, 33:16. 1 Corinthians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and Ephesians 1:7 and 14. go along with this. Three powerful words in that verse. You could teach for a year on those three powerful words. Hina, pathos, gegrate, ho, kakomenos, en, kiryu, kakaste, kakasto. Just as in order that it has been written, that word, we get the word graphic from that, we get the word graphite, all of those words come from this Greek word grapho. Garagrapte, it's third person singular, perfect indicative middle. It has been written, the one boasting in the Lord, let him boast. If you're boasting in the Lord, boast. Now let's look at those last two verses. Did we read 29 also or not? Gabrielle, can you read all of those three things real loud for me, please? Just like you're speaking up on the stage. All right.
So that no mortal man should have pretense for glorying and boast in the presence of God. But it is from him that you have your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God, who revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation, who you think it is, manifesting itself as our righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God and our consecration, making us pure and holy.
Amen. That's real good. Should have had her come up here and read it. Right into the microphone. Well, thank you. We covered the first chapter of the book in 1 Corinthians. First chapter of the first Corinthians. I hope you enjoyed that. There's a whole lot more to go. There's a whole lot of theology and a whole lot of things in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to cover just about every subject that you might need in the world today. Brother John, thank you for coming here all the way from Chapter, California. Brother, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for all you provided for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are all in all. And we know, Lord, that we have no boast except in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you receive and you deserve all the praise and all the glory. We just rejoice, Lord, that you've chosen us. Elect us and take us out into the clear.
Amen. We'll start there 2-1 next week. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.